Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program, via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, October 26, 2020. A court in Juba sentences a man to death for killing three children.
The court has found that the accused person is guilty of the charges of murder under Section 206 of the Criminal Court Act 2008.
And Sudanese politicians say relationship with Israel comes with benefits.
We are compelled to choose this, and we know nothing will harm our people. We have been fighting along our Arab Sicily countries on many war fronts since 1948 to regain our rights. But now we have come to a conclusion that all the Arab nations are not in any form of war with Israel.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A court in the South Sudan's capital, Juba, has sentenced a man to death by hanging after he was found guilty of killing three children in Juba's Rock City residential area. The man's lawyer says he will appeal as soon as possible because he says the court took a rushed decision based on assumptions other than concrete evidence. For VOA News, David Monodanga reports from Juba.
In a courtroom packed with hundreds of onlookers, many women ululated as Juba High Court Judge Dwarth Kulang sentenced defendant Babu Emmanuel Lokiri to death by hanging for the murder of the three siblings. Hundreds of others who could not find room inside the courtroom stood outside where loudspeakers were mounted to enable people to follow the proceedings. After about an hour, Judge Kulang called for a short recess, then resumed the session by asking the parents of the deceased children, Edward Andrew Loboka and Gilda Gideon Juma, how they wanted the court to punish Lokiri. Both parents said they wanted him to be executed. A motive for the murders was never identified by the court.
The court has found that the accused person is guilty of the charges of murder under Section 206 of the Criminal Court Act 2008 and passes the death sentence against the convicted Babu Emmanuel Lokiri as follows. 1. The convict Babu Emmanuel Lokiri should be hanged by the death until he is dead. 2. The case of be sent to the Supreme Court for confirmation after 15 days of appeal.
The children's paternal grandfather, Wilson Sokiri Lokiden, says the family is satisfied with the sentence.
The ruling now today will relieve the people of South Sudan because this is a public concern. And I believe that this thing will happen. It will take place. The whole world is mounting to see what will be the last judgment. And I appreciate that this judgment is done accordingly.
Defense attorney Simon Okeni Satiro says his client will appeal the death sentence as soon as possible. He accused the court of rushing to convict and sentence Babu Emmanuel Lokiri.
We are shocked by the court decision, and you know the time given for this decision to be ready is very short. I don't know why the court rushed to that extent. They came up with the decision in a short time. Most of the result that the court concluded, most of it based on the assumptions. There is nothing tangible.
For example, Satiro says, during his client's trial, the court cited previous crimes allegedly committed by Lokiri, yet he was never tried or convicted of such crimes. Satiro says the court should have introduced into evidence only the cases in which the accused was tried and convicted in order to convict Lokiri in this case. He says the defense will appeal the verdict within the next 14 days as allowed under the law.
We have filed our evidence before the court, and I think the court neglected our evidence. We don't know the reason why behind it, but we'll still insist on the evidence we have at hand so that the Supreme Court will look into it. We are convinced that it's innocent until proven still, because this court is not the final court to hang people.
Reaction to the death sentence among Juba residents was mixed. While some say Babu Emmanuel Okiri should be executed, others say killing him will not bring back 9-year-old Lydia Edward, 7-year-old Blessing Edward, and their 4-year-old sister, Nura Edward. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
Unknown number of schoolgirls who were relocated from flood-affected areas in Jonglei State to Mangala in central Equatoria State allege some parents are sending boys to school and blocking girls to stay at home. This program could not independently verify claims by some of the girls who spoke to Manyang David Mayar, who visited Mangala and files this story for VOA from Juba.
Many primary 8 and senior 4 South Sudanese students embraced the government's decision to reopen schools for candidate classes after being closed for nearly 7 months due to COVID-19. Candidate classes reopened October 5th, but nearly 200 internally displaced schoolgirls living in Mangala displaced persons camp might not be able to return to school. There is no secondary school in Mangala, and the only primary school in Mangala town, which could have been accessible to IDPs, is not operational. Paulino Laku, the Mangala Payam executive director, says the school was shut down following intercommunal conflict between the Bari and Mundari communities.
The school is not working. We have not opened it yet. Because if you heard about the problem of Mangala, the Bari and Mundari, this problem also causes a delay in opening of this school.
Laku says Payam authorities are planning to take primary 8 pupils from the host community to study in Mongri, several miles south of Mangala. The lack of schools to teach candidates in both primary and secondary has forced some IDPs in Mangala to send their children, mostly their sons, to schools in the capital Juba so they can register for primary 8 or senior 4 final examinations. One 18-year-old displaced schoolgirl, we shall identify only as Mary, to protect her identity for her own safety, says although she was performing well in class, she feels discriminated against because her parents decided to send her brother to a school in Juba, where he will register and sit for his final examinations. She says she was left behind because she is a girl.
They say that a boy is the one to take care of the family in the future. If he is educated, he will be able to take care of the family, including me. As for a girl, she will be married maybe to a man who is educated. And if she wants to continue with her education, she will continue from there.
15-year-old Nyandeng Duot, another displaced primary 8 schoolgirl staying in Mangala, says when the government reopened schools, her parents told her and her older sister, who is also in primary 8, that they might not return to school.
I will not sit, maybe I will not sit for final examination. And if I go somewhere, they say that there's no girls to live alone with you have to live with your father.
Nyandeng says her parents tell her if she were a boy, there would have been no problem leaving the IDP camp and going to a relative's home in Juba to complete her studies. Ngong Ajak, a displaced parent whose daughters have not gone to school, says he understands the importance of girls receiving an education, but is skeptical about sending village girls into the city rather quickly.
It is not that I don't like my daughters to learn. The reason I fear sending them to Juba too soon is because these girls are coming from the village, which is far from town life, and Juba life is all about city life. There are cars, motorcycles, and other things, which is not good for people coming from rural areas. And a girl is protected by her father and mother.
Panther Anyeth, another IDP parent in Mangala, says he fears his daughters might be impregnated if left by themselves in the city.
I'm so worried because of those who are in primary 8 and those who are in secondary school or senior 4 about them. Because when those who are in primary and others which are girl, maybe the girl can get pregnant and go to his home.
Jock Abramton, director at the Promised Land Secondary School in Juba, says his school is discussing with parents the benefits of allowing both their daughters and sons to be enrolled at his school for free in an effort to get more girls back to school.
My plan is to restore hope as their elder brother and as someone who is in the field of education, and I have the capacity to help them. When I was monitoring their situation in Mangala, I saw a lot of people were talking about their shelter, about their food and health, but forgetting about those who are in their final year. So when I thought it was very crucial so that I can render my support. So I have existing school and I have some space for them and I have teachers.
Thorne says he has 157 primary 8 and senior 4 schoolgirls living in Mangala, most of whom will likely sit for final examinations in Juba. He says parents who are willing to let their children learn under his supervision at the school's boarding premises in Juba will be given the chance to study. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayar in Juba.
Still on schools, there has been widespread condemnation in Cameroon of an attack on a school in the southwestern town of Komba Saturday that left 7 children dead. Officials dressed in black marched through Komba on Sunday, calling for an investigation and for the killing of the innocents to stop. Muki Edwin Kinzika reports from Yaoundé.
Be your brother's keeper! What happened yesterday should never happen again!
Close to 1,000 men, women and children dressed in black as a sign of mourning listened to the mayor of Komba Sunday. Grigory Miwanu called on the protesters of the killing of 7 school children to be united against cruelty and to cooperate with the military investigating the killing. The event was broadcast by almost all local radio and TV stations. Ekoko Mokete, traditional ruler of Komba, says he has joined the protests to ask for barbarism in his city to end immediately.
I'm here to resound the disgust that the entire nation of Cameroon, and not just Cameroon, the entire world, people have been watching the pictures, asking themselves why. How could people be so mean, wicked, and demonic? We shall say no to violence. What do we say to violence?
No to violence!
Sunday, churches, mosques, and community meetings all over Cameroon dedicated time to condemning the killing. Tammy Valentine, president of the Teachers Association of Cameroon, says no community can be built without education.
Sustainable Development Goal number 4 asserts that all in communities should be educated. So whoever supported or sponsored barbaric activity, we are stating here that such a person has begun a war against the United Nations that put in place all those sustainable development goals.
Cameroon reports that since the 2020-2021 school year began on October 5, more than 1 million children in the crisis-prone English-speaking regions listened to pleas from the government and international NGOs and resumed their studies. Cameroon government spokesperson René Emmanuel Sadi says the separatists have for 4 years asked parents to stop sending children to school.
The objective of these separatists is to break the fresh impetus observed in the resumption of classes in the northwest and southwest regions. The government intends to reaffirm its resolve to address all the intimidation by creating and preserving the conditions that would allow for the pursuit of the back-to-school campaign and the security of the educational community of the concerned regions as a whole.
Sadi said troops had been deployed to track the killers and bring them to justice. The United Nations, rights groups, and foreign embassies in Yaoundé have all condemned the attack. 4 children died on the spot and 3 at a hospital in Komba. 15 were wounded, with 7 in critical condition. The U.S. Embassy in a release said it condemned in the strongest possible terms the shooting at Mother Francisca Nursery and Primary School in Komba.
The release says the violence must stop now, and children should be allowed to exercise their right to go to school without fear for their safety, and that the perpetrators of the attack must be held accountable and be brought to justice. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, how old is your car? Find out more if you are allowed to use it in Africa. That story is coming up after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
where do you get your health advice from?
Sometimes I get my health advice from my grandmother, who is at home. When I'm sick that I can't control myself, she'll help.
I get my health advice from my friend, colleague, who live together. We also know about those who have been experiencing more problems about health. They don't advise me through phone. We talk, we chat, discuss everything.
My dad, because my dad is a doctor.
I'd say I get my health advice from various places, the internet, my parents, because I have, my mother is a nurse.
My health advice, I get it on the internet. If I need something on how to deal with obesity, I get it on the internet. Anything I need pertaining to health advice is on the internet.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Some officials within the Sudanese transitional government say the decision to normalize relations with Israel will end years of hostilities between the two countries. A member of Sudan's Sovereign Council says peace with Israel does not harm anyone in Sudan. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
A joint statement released by the White House, Sudan and Israel on Friday, said U.S. President Donald Trump, the head of Sudan's Sovereign Council, Abdul Fattah al-Burhan, Sudanese Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok, and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu held a joint teleconference call that same day in which Sudan agreed to normalize relations with Israel. Hours later, President Trump informed Congress he intended to remove Sudan from the U.S. list of countries that sponsor terrorism. Some Sudanese official describes the decision as historic, ending years of hostilities between the two nations. Speaking to Al Hadas TV channel last night, Sovereign Council member General Yasser Al-Atta confirmed that normalizing relations with Israel was one of the conditions set by the U.S. government to delete its name from the list of countries that sponsor terrorism. He says normalizing relations with Israel will not harm any country because the decision was taken after lengthy discussions about protecting the interests of the Sudanese people. He says years of extremist policies have negatively affected the Sudanese people.
We are compelled to choose this, and we know nothing will harm our people. We have been fighting along our Arab sisterly countries on many war fronts since 1948 to regain our rights. But now we have come to a conclusion that all the Arab nations are not in any form of war with Israel.
Sudan's Justice Minister Nasruddin Abdul Bari issued a statement on Saturday saying building ties with Israel is legal and falls within the mandate of the transitional government, which is enshrined in the constitution. He argues the constitutional document does not place restrictions on the government exercising its authority to set and administer a foreign policy, nor does it prevent the establishment of relations with Israel. Both Atta and Abdul Bari say they believed improved relations with Israel will benefit Sudan economically. Mubarak Al-Fadil, chairman of Umma Party Reform Faction, welcomes the move. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus, Al-Fadil says Sudan is an agricultural land and Israel has pledged to support Sudan with new agricultural technology, which will boost local production and improve Sudan's economy.
Sudan needs very much advanced technology in agriculture and irrigation, especially that Sudan is an agricultural country with vast arable lands amounting to 200 million acres that we only now cultivate 45 million acres with very low productivity and high cost.
Al-Fadil says he believes Sudan has now joined a regional political coalition with an aim of fighting terrorism in the north and the Horn of Africa. He says Israeli flights can now fly straight through Sudanese airspace to southern Africa, West Africa, and South American countries.
Trips to South America from Israel could be reduced by four hours by flying over Sudan. Also, Israel could benefit from Sudanese meat and Sudanese agriculture produce. We used to export Sudanese seeds to Israel in the 50s. So this could also be resumed.
Sudan was put on the list because terrorist leaders, including Osama bin Laden, were given a safe harbor in Sudan. Bin Laden lived in Khartoum between 1991 and 1996. Al-Fadil says since Sudan will be delisted from the U.S. list of countries that sponsor terrorism, the Israeli government should now work with its allies in Europe and other countries to support the transitional government in Sudan so it can rejoin the world financial system. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Still on the Sudan-Israeli relations, a senior advisor at the Israeli Ministry of Intelligence says Sudan has strategic and geopolitical importance to Israel. The official who spoke to this program in an exclusive interview from Tel Aviv says Sudan stands to benefit from relations with Israel by improving her technology in various fields, including agriculture, medicine, and security. For VOA News, Nabil Biagio reports.
Arye Shalikar, a special advisor to Israel's Minister of Intelligence, Eli Cohen, told South Sudan in Focus today by phone from Jerusalem that Israeli and Sudanese officials and experts have been in negotiations for months to re-establish relations after several decades of belligerence. He says Friday's White House announcement that Sudan would normalize relations with Israel was embraced by the Israeli government as it represents peace and friendship between Israel and Sudan, along with an economic and security relationship.
We believe it's a win-win situation for both sides. Sudan is definitely a very big country, strategically located in the heart of Africa, in the relatively close neighborhood of Israel as well, just south of Egypt. So for us, a very important location, let's say, area where we would like to be a friend rather than enemy with.
Shaligar says Sudan stands to benefit greatly from the new friendship.
Sudan can in the future enjoy Israeli innovation. You know, Israel is a high-tech nation, one of the nations in the country, in the world, with number one specialists and experts in various fields like agri-tech and med-tech and computers and cyber. And there's so many fields where Sudan can, in the future, in the very close future, benefit from.
The normalization agreement brokered by President Donald Trump is the third such agreement mediated by the Trump administration to establish relations between Israel and certain Arab countries following several decades of hostility. Last month, the Jewish state signed normalization agreements with the United Arab Emirates and the Kingdom of Bahrain in a ceremony hosted by the White House and overseen by President Trump. Shalikar says, Israeli and Sudanese officials will continue to engage with one another in order to fully enact the agreement and open cooperation in various fields.
And the next couple of weeks and months, the contact will develop, and there's going to be more discussions and more meetings in order to see what the next steps have to be. But there's a lot to discuss, and we are very positive and believe that it's just a matter of time till both countries will join forces in various fields together with our new friends in the Gulf, Emirates and Bahrain, and hopefully other countries in the region to follow.
Shalikar says his government realizes there is opposition to the Sudan-Israel normalization deal inside Sudan, but he says that will not deter the two countries from moving forward with the new relationship.
This is unfortunate, but we understand that some people in the society, not only in Sudan, but we see this in other countries in the region as well, they have been educated by radical preachers, often, preaching radical Islamic worldviews. So in the end, the Sudanese leadership is doing the right thing for the people of Sudan.
Shalikar says Israeli ties with Sudan and other Arab countries will improve security in the region and benefit each country. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Nairobi, Kenya.
Before we end this show, I have a special announcement for you. This program can now be heard in South Sudan at 7:30 p.m. local time on VOA affiliate stations. Please inform your relatives and friends. That's all we prepared for you this Monday. We now leave you with a song from Eastern Equatorial State. Been listening to that song in Madi language from Eastern Equatorial State. The Madi are found in South Sudan and Uganda. I am John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask if you must leave your house. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
ele kaya kaya meri kwenyo konyo konyo tadi koluma di ele kaya tusu.